Today's shiur is Masechta Pesachim, Daf Nun Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, 14 lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues discussing Hilchos Shmita. The Gemara says, Rabbi Lazar cut kafnais of the shvius. Rabbi Lazar chopped down a palm tree that had on it Shmita dates. And the Rishonim discuss how was he allowed to cut down a tree. There's a halacha about tashchis, that one is not allowed to destroy a living tree. So Mefarshim explain that here it was a situation where the fruit tree only produced a small amount of fruit, and then there's no problem on destroying a tree, or the wood of the tree was more valuable than the fruit, and that's when cutting down the tree is permitted. The Meiri explains that he did not cut down the whole tree. He only cut down branches from the tree, and since he only cut down branches, there's no problem about tashkas. The Chibina Rav says, since we find that most Rishonim do not give the same answer as the Meiri, it proves, says the Chibina Rav, that there is an Isra of Chatzi Shir even on Baal Tashkis, and when a tree may not be destroyed, not only may not the entire tree be destroyed, but even part of the tree may not be destroyed. Ask the Gemara, Heichi Avad Hachai, how did Rabbi Loi do such a thing? La Ochla Am Rachmana, the Torah speaks about the Shemitah fruit, that it must be eaten, V'loi Lehefsed, and may not be destroyed. And the Mefarshim explained the reason it may not be destroyed is either, as we learned yesterday, schayra, doing business with Shemitah produce is prohibited, or Shemitah produce doesn't belong to any one specific individual. Rather, Shemitah produce, it belongs to the entire Tzibur, to the Rabbim, and we therefore have no right to steal from the Rabbim to ruin something which doesn't belong to us. Perhaps you say, when is there a rule that you're not allowed to destroy Shemitah produce when they are fully ripened? If they are not fully ripened, this Issa doesn't exist. Ask the Gemara, Am Rav Nachman, Am Rav Bavua, Hani Mischali the Arla Asiri. The date covers of Arla are prohibited. They have the same din as Arla. Why? Hoil the Nasu Shem Leperi. Because they consider a protector of the fruit. Shem Leperi Amos Hava. Now, when are they a protector of fruit? Bekufri. When the dates are small. Because this cover dries off and falls off prior to the dates ripening. And yet, the Kakarle Peri, they're still considered fruit. So we see that even when the fruit is very small, they're still considered fruit for Arla, and so should be the din by Shmita. Answers the Gemara of Nachman, who says that fruit, when it's small and unripened, is still considered fruit. Damek Reb Yossi. He's saying that in the Shita of Reb Yossi, that Nan, the Mishnah in Masechta Arla says, Reb Yossi Oymer Smadr, a grape broad, Asam Neshu Peri. It's also because of Arla, because it's already considered a fruit. However, the Rabbanim disagree, and they hold that it's not yet Arla when it's so small. So therefore, Rabbi Loi in our Gemara cut down the branches when the fruit was very small, because he holds like Rabbanim that small fruit is not considered fruit. Maskalar of Shimi Menador, or me, Pliga Rabbanan Led, Rabbi Yossi Bisharilanas, do the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yossi regarding other fruit trees? For Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah, Masechta Shvius. May Messiah and Kaitsin and Silanus Bishvius, from when we not cut down fruit trees during Shemitah, Beshamay Omrim, call Hilanus Mashiatsiu. All fruit trees, when they start bringing out their first leaves. That's how Rashi over here explains. However, Rabbi Kiva Ega and Rishash point out that Rashi in Masechta Brachos says that Mashiach Tziu means when they start bringing out the fruit, when the fruit is very small. That's how we'll explain the Gemara. From when they formed chains. That's how the caribs developed. Gefanim, grapevines, Mishia Griu, from when they're the size of a garua. Others say Mishia Griu is from when the seed becomes visible. Vazesim, Mishia Nitsu, olives, from when the nets develops around the olive. Vishakoilon is Mishia Tsu. All other free trees may not be cut down from when they bring forth their fruit. Vamra Vasi, Hu Boiser, Hu Gerua, Hu Pilaloven. Boiser is the same as Gerua regarding the grape, which is the same as a white bean. Ask the Gemara right away, Pilaloven Salkadaitach, what are you talking about beans? We're talking about grapes. Answers the Gemara, Ema Shiurai Kapilaloven. The shear of a grape, that it should be considered a grape that's a fruit that you may not cut down in the Shemitah year, is from when the size of a bean. And the Rosh says that this Gemara, these dinim, are also relevant regarding brachas. That you do not make a bracha, barei pri or eitz, on fruits until they achieve this size. Interestingly, the Magen Avraham says that according to this, you would not make a bracha, a barei pri or eitz, on a grape which is smaller than a pilaloven, smaller than a bean. However, says the Magen Avraham, nowadays where grapes grow very small, it's very common to have very small grapes. Even on small grapes, do we make a barei pri or eitz? Now continues the Gemara. Man sham lay the bama boiser in. Who is the man d'amah that holds that only when the grape achieves the size of boiser is it considered a fruit? Smadaloi, but when it's the smaller size of smadar, it's not yet considered a fruit. Rabbanim. It's Rabbanim. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, a grape is already considered a grape when it's a smadar. Viktani. And so obviously this Mishnah that we just learned is going according to Rabbanim, because it says here boiser, not smother. And yet it says here, Shakol Elonois Mishiyatsu, that all fruit trees, other than the few that we mentioned separately, are considered fruit as soon as they come out. So how could a beloi destroy the date tree? Even the Rabbanan hold that date trees, as soon as the fruit comes out, may not be destroyed in the Shemitah year. Answers the Gemara, El beloi b'nischoikot. The tree Rabbi Eloi cut down was a male palm tree whose dates don't grow after a certain point. They never ripen on the tree. Like Rashi explains, they have to be removed from the tree and put into a wicker basket, and that's where they can ripen. And that's why he was allowed to cut down this fruit, even though it was a Shemitah fruit. It wasn't going to grow anymore anyway. Tana Rabbanan. Oichlin ba'novim. Ad Shiichlu Deloy Shalaychem. We could eat grapes from Shemitah until the vines of Eichel, Eichel is never a place, are depleted. As we spoke in the previous year, there's a halacha of beer that at the point where fruits and produce of Shemitah are no longer available in the fields, they may not be stored in the home. And now our Gemara, our Braisa, is discussing the time for various fruits. Im yesh mu'charis mehem, continues the Braisa, however, if there are vines that we see that become depleted later, oichlan lehem, then we could continue eating. Oichlan b'zeisim, we could eat olives, at sheyichla achron shebitekoa, until the last olives in Tekoa, as Rashi explains, is a place where there were a lot of olives, is depleted. Rebbe Lez Oimer, at sheyichla achron shel gushcholof. The letter says until the last one in Gush Cholov is also a place where there are a lot of different olives. Rebbe Lez Kadeshiani Yoitze, he says it's permitted to eat from olives until a pauper goes out. Then it might say loy begufay loy beikray, and doesn't find neither on the branch or on the main part of the tree a riva of dry measure of olives. Oichlam the Grigris, we're allowed to eat out dried figs, ach yichlu pagi beis hini, until the figs of beis hini are depleted, because those were the last figs that got used up. Rabbi Huda says, lo hiskru pagi beis hini, the issue of pagi beis hini were not mentioned regarding this. Elen yemais, they were mentioned regarding the chiyuv of taking maisris. The Tanya, pagi beis hini, vahina de tovina, these figs from beis hini, and the dates of tovina, chayavim maisa, chayiv maisa. But that has nothing to do regarding this thing that we're discussing, a beer shvius. Oichlim b'tamarim, could eat dates, achi ichla achren shbetzoyer, until the last palm tree and tzoyer has been depleted of its fruit. Shimon Gamliel Omer, Oichlin al Shabena Kipin, Vein Oichlin al Shabena Shitz, which we explained yesterday. The date tree is a very tall tree, and the fruit falls down into the branches. The fruit in the branches is accessible. Then it falls down sometimes into the thorns that are lower on the tree, which are difficult to reach because of the thorns. And according to Shimon Gamliel, if the fruit is only available in the thorn area, that's not considered available. Vermini asked the Gemara, Oichlu manav mara Pesach. It says in another brayse that we could eat Shemitah grapes until Pesach. And as a machloikis, what does that mean? Does it mean until the first days of Pesach or until the last days of Pesach? And therefore says the Chazon Ish that since there are shitas, that it means the first days of Pesach, what someone should do who has wine from Shemitah and Pesach arrives, the halacha is that even once the Zmar beer arrives, says the Chazon Ish, you're allowed to keep for yourself three sudas, three meals worth of that produce. So he says, take three meals worth of that wine and segregate them to use for the Dalet Kaisis. And even if it means the first days of Pesach, what the Gemara says here at Pesach, you'd be allowed to use that wine. B'zeisim, regarding Shemitah olives, ad atzeres until Shavuos. B'groigris, dried figs until Chanukah. B'tamarim, ad purim, tamarim ad purim. V'am Rabibi, Rabbi Yochanan, tarti b'sray samachlef. Rabbi Yochanan switched around the last things. And he says, tamarim is till Chanukah, and Groigris is until Purim. But ask the Gemara, this is a contradiction to what we learned in the previous Braisa. Because in the previous Braisa it said that we go with olives until the city of Tsoyar. And here it says that we go until Purim or Chanukah. Answers the Gemara, Idiv Idichat Shurihu. It's all the same. Chanukah is the time when these fruits got depleted in those cities. Vibay Seima, Haktanim Behedja. We learned in the previous braisa, im yesh mucharis mehen, if there are fruits available even longer, we could eat them based on that availability. So that's the same point. The point of the two braises is not to assign a specific deadline. The point is that we should always look how long these fruits and produce are available, and the braises are giving us different simonim, how to know. Tanya, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, similar maharim, a sign for a mountain, milin, a gornut trees. Simin lamokim, a sign for a valley, is the kolim, date palms. Simin lenecholim, a sign of streams, konim are reeds. So Ben Ishchai explains this Gemara homiletically. He says, there's a pasuk in Amos, Yoitzer harim, Uvayrei ruach, umagid la'odom masichai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates mountains, created the wind, and tells a person what he speaks about. Now obviously the pasuk is a little difficult to understand. What's the connection here? So he explains. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes brings to the world fierce winds, which could do terrible damage. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, berachmav hamarubim, created, when he created the world, a way to protect us. There are mountains around cities, and the wind hits those mountains first, which blunts the power of the wind. So when it comes to the city, it isn't that serious. Yoitzer Horim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created mountains. Uvayre Ruach, why did he create those mountains? To protect us from the Ruach, from the fierce winds that he brings. But the question is, don't have fierce winds and don't have mountains. Says the Pasuk, Magid La'odah Masichai. The Pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the way people speak. And the people speak, they use the wind in their bodies inappropriately. HaKadosh Baruch Hu must bring the winds as a punishment or as a wake-up call. How are you speaking? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in this way that we should be protected. Similar harim, you know why there are mountains? Milin, because of the words that we speak. Then he continues, Simin li amokim the kolim. Amokim, he says, means deep, low, modesty, anivus. Simin la amokim, somebody who's modest, the kolim, will reach, like we just spoke before, the date trees are very high. He will be able to reach very high madregas. Another pshat, simin la amokim. Amokim means tefillah. Mimamakim kurasicha Hashem. Simin la amokim, somebody who davens to Hashem, the kolim, will be able to reach very high. Similar necholim. Necholim means rivers, but we know that the Torah is compared to water. Similar necholim, what is the sign of a Talmud Chacham? Konim reeds. The Gemara says that Talmud Chacham should be rak kekonah, he should be soft like a reed, pliable as a reed. Continues the Gemara, similar shvela, a sign of a plain, shikma are sycamore trees. Even though it's not an actual riot to this point, the Pasuk says in Melachim that the Melech made silver in Yerushalayim like stones, and cedars were as abundant like sycamores, which are in the plains Lariv, very available. Says the Gemara, similar harm milim. Similar mokum to kolim. We said the mountains have gulna trees, valleys have date trees. Nafkamina, why do we need to know? Lebikurim. The loch is the first fruits have to be brought as bikurim, and the Tanah, the Mishnah says himself to bikurim, aim vim bikurim el mashivas aminim. Bikurim may be brought only from the shevas aminim. Furthermore, v'loimi the kolim shebaharim, not from date trees that are in the mountains. V'loimi perish v'amokim, not from grain that is in the valley, because you have to use the best fruit for Bikurim. The kolim, the good, the kolim, as we just explained, are in the plains, are in the valleys, not in the mountains. And the reason you should not bring produce from the valleys, because since there's a lot of water and there's a lot of flooding in those valleys, so the produce produced there is not such quality. And again, the best quality should be brought for Bikurim. Simen l'necholim kolim. We said that a mark of a stream is reeds. Nafkamina l'nachal esim. The Torah talks about the parasha of El Egla Arufa. If somebody is found murdered and we don't know who killed him, so the halacha is they have the ziknei ear have to bring an Egla Arufa, a decapitated Egla. Then it has to be brought by a nachal eson, the Torah says. Now we're saying that a nachal has to have reeds. Simon l'shvela, a simon of a plain. Shikma is the sycamore tree. Nafkamina, what's the nafkamina? L'mekach u'memkar. Regarding buying and selling. That if somebody buys a plain and there are no shikmas, he could say that this is not what we dealt with because a plain should have sycamore trees. Says the Gemara, Hashtos Lahachi, now that we explain that the Nafkamin is Mekach HaMemker, so Kulanami LaMekach HaMemker. Then all the other Simonim that we gave, that also could be the Nafkamina, that to know if the business deal is considered an honest deal, if the mountain I bought has on a Gulna trees, then it's a deal, if not, not. But the Miri points out that this is only applicable in places where mountains naturally have gorna trees, and valleys naturally have date trees. Just because it might have been the case in one area of the world doesn't mean that that's the din everywhere. And the Mefarshim, the Rishonim discuss, now that the Gemara at the end says that the Nafkamina in all of these Simonim is Mekach HaMemkar, do the previous Terutzim that we gave no longer apply, and therefore we said regarding Bikurim, regarding Eglarufa, is no longer applicable? Or what the Gemara means to say is that those Terutzim still could stand, just the Gemara saying that the Nafkamina Mekach HaMemkar is also relevant to those Simonim. In way of introduction to our next Mishnah, there's a Gzeiris Chazal that, this is the way Rashi understands our Mishnah, there's a Gzeiris Chazal that one may not sell to a goy a Behema Gassa. Because since a Behema Gassa does work, and the halacha is Shvisas Behemtoi, that on Shabbos not only must we not do work, we may not let our animals do work. Chazal were concerned that if we will sell them these animals, they may actually only rent these animals to them. And if we rent the animals to them, they're going to be working on Shabbos by the Goyim, which is Aser. Another pshat along the same line, one may accidentally sell his animal to a Goy right before Shabbos, and then the Goy is going to want the seller, the Jewish seller, to demonstrate that the animal is a good animal and a healthy animal, and the way he wanted to demonstrate is that the owner, the Jewish owner, should call out to the animal and the animal should come, which is the malacha of mechamer. And since this business transaction is taking place right before Shabbos, we're concerned that this actual demonstration may take place on Shabbos, which would be Chilul Shabbos. So Chazal said that Behema Gassa may not be sold to a Goy. And that's not the subject of our Mishnah. The subject of our Mishnah, as we've been discussing in our Perek, are Minhagim, customs. And our Mishnah discusses that in certain areas there was a Minig, says the Mishnah, Mokim Shinogu Limka Behema Dakla Nachim. In certain places, they, even though they're not allowed to sell Behema Gassa or Behema Daka, small livestock, where there isn't the concern like sheep and goats that they're going to be worked with, may be sold, and we may follow that minig. In a place where there is a minig not to sell, we're not allowed to sell, we'll have to follow the minig. Ask the Shach, isn't this a gzera l'gzera? The entire issue of selling a behema gasa to a guy is a gzera. And now we're making a gzera behema daka because of behema gasa. So the Gilyam Ashah explains, a gzera l'gzera is relevant when Chazal make Gzeiras Chazal. And we have a rule throughout Shas that we don't have a Gzeira L'Gzeira. Here it's not a Gzeira L'Gzeira, it's a Minig L'Gzeira. A Minig we do make L'Gzeira. The Komakim, as we said, a Behemagasa, large animal may never be sold. A Golem Siochim, you're not allowed to sell calves or foals, Shleim V'Shvurim, whether they're healthy or they're maimed. Rabbi Huda says that a maimed animal may be sold. And what's the machloikus between Rabbi Huda and the Tanakhama? Rabbi Huda says that the entire reason we're not allowed to sell an animal to a guy is because he's going to work with it. But this animal is not workable. It's a sick animal, and therefore may be sold. Why does the Tanakhama disagree? And he says that even if it's maimed, it may not be sold. So the Rishonim explain, because the Tanakhama says that when someone sees that the guy has the animal that was the Jews originally, he won't know and recognize that when the Jews sold the animal to the guy, he sold it when it was already maimed. He may think that it was sold when it was healthy, which we said you're not allowed to. Ben Beseira Mat Besus. Ben Beseira says you're allowed to sell a horse. And the reason is, because why are we explaining you're not allowed to sell an animal to a guy? Because he may work with the animal. But since a horse, what is a horse used for? A horse is used to ride on. And riding is not an Issa D'Oraisa, because chai noises atzmai, a person goes by himself, so the animal, even if a person were to ride on it, would not be doing a malacha. That's why Ben Beserah says you're allowed to sell a horse. But says the Ritva, the Ben Beserah will agree that even though you're allowed to sell a horse, you're not allowed to rent a horse to a guy, because that's Shvisas Behemtai. Why did Rabbanan disagree with Ben Beserah? Because the Rabbanan hold that sometimes you may use the horse to transport birds, and birds, there is no concept of Chai Noises Atzmai. Therefore, they say you shouldn't sell a horse. And there's a machlokes, what does that mean? Should you not sell any horse, or should you not sell a horse that's going to be used to transport birds? As I said, this is Rashi's explanation of our Mishnah. Another explanation which is given is that the reason you're not allowed to sell these animals to goyim is we're concerned they're going to sodomize the animals. However, Rekiv Ega says Rashi doesn't want to learn that pshat because the Gemara says that when an animal is sodomized, it becomes sterile, and that's why we're not concerned that the guy would do that. Another pshat that the Maram Chalava quotes in Yerushalmi says that you're not allowed to sell an animal to a guy because we're concerned that as long as the animal is by a Jew, you could do mitzvahs with the animal. Reshus Hageiz and Bechor and other mitzvahs. And now that you would not be able to do mitzvahs with this animal anymore. Lahalacha, the Shulchan Aruch says that if an animal is sold through a broker, it's mutter. Because since in those days, rentals were never done through brokers, selling, when something was done through a broker, was only done for selling purposes. So the concern that you may rent an animal to a guy isn't relevant when you're using a broker. But the Pais can anyway say that nowadays animals may be sold to goyim, because since nowadays animals are not used for work, animals are used just basically for eating purposes or clothing purposes, so we're not concerned that the animal will be worked with, and that's why animals are sold nowadays by Jews to goyim. Now the Mishnah discusses another situation. Makam shenagu lechel tzli be'el psachim, in a place where there is a minig that we eat roasted meat on Pesach oichlim, we may eat it. Makam shenagu shloi lechel, in a place where there's a minig where we don't ain oichlim, we may not eat. And the reason for this minig is that since the carbon Pesach, as we know, was roasted, there's a concern that people will think that we're eating the carbon Pesach outside of Yerushalayim, outside of the required parameters. And that's our minig. The Shulchan Aruch says the minig Ashkenaz, Jews of European descent, is not to eat roasted food on Pesach by night. On Pesach by night, and according to the Mishnah Berurah, it's all types of roasted foods, meat, poultry, and even fish. There are shilas regarding Pesach by day. There's a shilas at Shuvas Beis Yehuda that says that some people have a minig not to eat roasted food even by day. But the Magen Avraham says that, let's say someone came home from shul Pesach by night and he realizes that he didn't prepare the zroya, which is roasted, so he may prepare it before the Seder. But then, says the Magen Avraham, he should be careful to eat that zroya during the first day of Yontif, because otherwise he will end up cooking, roasting that zroya, not for Yontif purpose, which we learned earlier, you may not cook or roast on Yontif, only for Yontif needs. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Osloi la'odem shi'oimar, bosezel la'pesachu. It's forbidden to say that this meat is for Pesach. It looks like he's designating his animal for holy, for kachim, and then he's eating the kachim outside of Yerushalayim. So Rashi explains that even if the animal is already slaughtered, still we're concerned that when somebody says this meat is for Pesach, he's giving the impression that it's hegdish, and since it's hegdish, even if it doesn't have a kedushas aguf, because it's already slaughtered, it's kedushas tamim, and you're not allowed to eat it until you redeem it. Tosfos takes issue with Rashi, and they explain that we're talking about, by somebody making this declaration, he's giving the impression that he was actually magdish this animal when it was alive for Karban Pesach. The dafkamina between Rashi and Tosfos will be on an animal that cannot be used for a carbon Pesach, because only a sheep and a lamb can be used for carbon Pesach. According to Rashi, the concern is not limited to those meats. According to Tosfos, it's only on a meat, on an animal, that there could be even a concern that it would be used for a Karban Pesach. Amra Papa, Dafka Pasa, the consideration here is only for meat. Avchiti loy. But if somebody says this wheat is for Pesach, there's no problem. The Minchal Pesach come. What he meant to say is, I'm guarding this wheat, I'm watching this wheat, that it should be able to be used for Pesach. And the Mishnah Berurah Taka says that a person should be careful not to say that this meat is being used for Pesach. He should say the meat is being used for Yontif, but the evidence, if he did it, it may be eaten. Ask the Gemara Basalai, meat may not be designated for Pesach Meisvei. Am Reb Yossi, Tudus Ish Roimi, Tudus of Roim, Hinnig is Bnei Roimi, made a minig, made a custom rhyme, Lechel Gedeim Kulosim B'Leil Psochem. They ate their goats roasted entirely, like an armor. Mikulos means armored, the way the Karban Pesach was prepared on Pesach. And Sholcholei, the Rabbanim sent them the following message: and Molei, Tudus Ata, were you not Tudus? Gezrano Lachanidai, we would put you into Cherim. Shatamachal Yisrael, Kachim Mechutz. You're giving Klai Yisrael to eat Kachim outside of Yerushalayim. Ask the Gemara, Kachim Salkadaitach? It's not Kachim. He never designated it as Kachim. El Eimah, what he meant was, Korv Lahachal Yisrael Kachim Mechutz. What you're doing is very close to causing Klai Yisrael to eat Kachim outside of Yerushalayim. So the Chasam Sofer asks, here the concern is a concern of Maris Ayin. The people will think they're eating kachim outside of Yerushalayim. As the Chasam Sofer, there's no Maris Ayin on a tzibur. Here we're dealing with all of Klal Yisrael, and there's no concern of Maris Ayin by a tzibur. So the Chasam Sofer answers that although everybody ate the goats that way, the animal that way, but everybody eats their Karban Pesach individually at home, that's not called a rabbin. The Chasam Sofer and the Masham say that the concern wasn't a concern of Maris Ayin. The concern was that the people would make a mistake that you're allowed to shecht Karban Pesach even nowadays, and even not in Yerushalayim. They're not going to realize that this is not the real Karban Pesach. So it's not a Maris Ayin consideration. But what do we see from here? The what is Osir? Mekulis. Strictly when it's prepared in this way, the entire animal. Shei Mekulis Loi. Another way is not Osir. So, but Rav seemed to say that you can never eat meat that's roasted on Pesach. You're not allowed to speak about meat even when it's not Mekulis. Amri, so the answer. Mekulis, when it's prepared in this fashion, loishna omar, loishna lo omar, it doesn't make a difference if somebody said something or not. The actual animal meat prepared this way is a concern. She'ena Mekulis, but when it's not roasted, pirish, if he says that it's LePesach, in that's when Rav's concern is relevant. Loi Pirish, when he doesn't explicitly say it, Loi, then that concern is not relevant. Rav Acha Masan Lohamas Niskrav Shimon. Rav Acha taught that the person that this Mishnah was with Tudus was written by Rav Shimon. Maskel Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes asked, and we'll explain this in a moment. Bishlam Lamanda Tanalak Rav Yossi, the person that said that this Braisa is going according to Rav Yossi, Nicha, I can understand. Lamanda Masnik Rav Shimon, the one that explains it's going called Rav Shimon, Minicha, is this understandable? But Nan, we learned in a Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Sechta Menachas that if somebody says, Harei Eloi Mincha Menasayrim, I'm going to donate a Karban Mincha from Bali. Now there are no Karban Minchas, a voluntary one at least, that can be brought from Bali. So how do we understand his declaration? The Tanakhama in the Mishnah says there that we just take the first part. Harei Eloi Mincha, and he has to bring a regular Karban Mincha from wheat flour. Rav Shimon, however, holds Af Begvar Dvar of Adam Nismas. A person has even everything he said has to be taken into consideration. And since he also used the word Sairim Bali, and as we explained, Bali cannot be used for Karban Mincha, so now we have a situation, Shlo Yisnadev Kederech HaMisnadvim. Rav Shimon Poiter Shleis Nadav Kedachem Esnadav. He did not donate in a normal manner, and therefore we say what he did is completely ineffective. So now let's understand. Toidus prepared this animal like it was roasted. But now, when was this done? They designated it after it was already prepared. Now, after animal is roasted, it's too late to be designated as Hegdish. So what's Rav Shimon's concern? It's Shleis Nadav Kederachem Esnadav. So how can we say it was Rav Shimon who was upset with what Toidus was doing? And the one that says that Rav Yossi was the one that was speaking to Toidus, Minicha, is that understandable? V'amar Rava, Rava said, Rav Shimon, B'shitas Rav Yossi Amra. Rav Shimon, that whole Shita is based on what Rav Yossi, Domar, Af B'gvar Dvarav Adon Nitfas. The Gemara in Masech the Temura speaks about a case where somebody wanted to exchange his carbon temura from onto an oila and to a shlomim. He said, I raise a temura's oila v'shlomim. The halach is that when an animal is exchanged for a carbon, the new animal assumes the same status as the first animal. So if somebody said, I raise a temura's oila, the new animal will have the status of an oila. If somebody says, I raise a temura's shlomim, the new animal will have the status of a shlomim. What happens if somebody says, I raise a temura's oila v'shlomim? So the Tanakhama holds, we go with the first thing he says. He said, oila first, I'll have the status of an oila. If I'll say, shlomim first, I'll have the status of a shlomim. Rav Yossi, disagrees. He says, a person can't say two things at the same time. So he said, oila v'shlomim, he meant both. So what should be done? An animal should be brought, let it become blemished, and be sold. Half of the money should be used for designated oila, and half should have the status of shlomim. So we see that Rav Yossi is the mandamin that holds af begvmar dvar of adam nitvas. The entire sentence a person says is counted, and that's what we said is also the basis of Rav Shimon Shita, that says when somebody says arezala mincha soirim, we take into consideration the word soirim. We follow the entire statement. Says the Gemara, if Rav Shimon is basing his shita on Rav Yossi, we assume that Rav Yossi nami sabal Rav Shimon, that shlois nadiv kederachem is nadiv. If he didn't do something the way things are normally made hegdish, there's no issue. So then, even according to Rav Yossi, why was he concerned with what Toidus did? It was shloik esnadiv kederachem esnadvim. So why are you telling me that if it was Rav Yossi taking issue with Toidus, it's better? Answers the Gemara, loy. Rav Shimon sava like Rav Yossi. Rav Shimon taka holds like Rav Yossi. Like Rav Yossi sava like Rav Shimon. That doesn't mean Rav Yossi holds like Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon holds Megmar Dvarov Adam Nitvas like Rav Yossi said. Rav Yossi doesn't agree necessarily to the concept of shloik esnadiv kederachem esnadvim. So they asked, Toidus Ishraimi, Gav Rabahava was a great person, or Bala Groifenhava, he was just a powerful person. Like the Chassam Sofer and the Ben Ishchai both explain, the reason we want to know is that if Toidus was a great person, so now we understand that you don't put a great person to Chayrim. And if he was a strong person, from here we see that when even if you have to put somebody into Chayrim, you don't have to put yourself into danger to do it. Says the Gemara, Toshma, Oidzu Doros Toidus Hishroimi. Toidus Hishroimi made the following drasha. Ma ro Chananya Mishal Ve'Azariah, Shemasra Atzom Al Kiddush Hashem Al Kiddush Hashem, that they jumped into the furnace of Nebuchadnezzar for Kiddush Hashem. So it said Toidus, Nosu Kavachoyim Batman Mitzvardim. They made a Kavachoyim from the Tzvardim. Tzvadim don't have to go to Hashem, and yet the pasuk says they're going to go into your ovens and to your kneading bowls. Now, when the bowls by the oven, have oim b'shasha tanacham when it's very hot. Anushim tzuv ma'kadosh Hashem. We who have the go akadosh Hashem alachs kam v'kama, we certainly should be ready to jump into the fire. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, why shouldn't have Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah jumped into the fire? Because the Torah says v'chay behem, a person should live. V'loish yams behem, a person is not supposed to be prepared to be mois and nefesh. And like the Mashal says, so they brought a rai from the Tzfadim who are made out of water and were ready to jump into fire. Ask the Shagas Aryeh, what was this Kav HaChomer? The Tzfadim had to jump into the fire. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to jump into the fire. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, according to Rashi, V'chai behem, V'loish yams behem, did not have to jump into the fire. They weren't told by God to jump into the fire. Says the Shagas Aryeh, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to jump into the fire, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell any specific frog, you be the frog to jump into the fire. Yet every frog wanted and volunteered to be that frog that will jump into the fire. And that's what the Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah learned from the Tzfardim. The way the story goes is that the Shagas Aryeh, when he was a little boy, was the one that said this teretz to the Gra. And when the Gra heard this teretz, he gave the Shagas Aryeh a kiss for this beautiful teretz. All the Mefarshim explain that there's no proof in the pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded that they jump into the fire that's fired them. They did it on their own. Tosfos takes issue with Rashi's approach, because Tosfos says that even though it says v'chai behem v'loish yomus behem, here was an issue of Kiddush Hashem, and therefore there had to be mice and nefesh. So why is what's pshat? So therefore Tosfos says that it was really only a statue of the king, not an idol, that they were asked to bow down to, and they were ready to jump into the furnace rather than bow down to. And that's why V'chai Behem tells us to a statue you're allowed to bow down. And in fact, the Chasam Sofer says that this is the connection of our Gemara. Why didn't Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah jump into the fire rather than bow down to the statue? Because they were concerned about Maris Ayin, that people won't realize that it's a statue. People will think it's an idol. Says the Chasam Sofer, from here we see that Tudus is a person that's concerned with Maris Ayin. That's why he said Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah jumped into the fire. So if he's concerned about Maris Ayin, when he let them eat the Gedim HaKulis, it must have been because he knew that there's no problem with Maris Ayin on a Gedim HaKulis. Another Teretz Tosfos gives is that they could have run away. Why did they have to stay there? Another Teretz that's given is that the fire, as the Pasuk says, was incredibly hot, and nobody was able to get close to the fire. So nobody could have pushed Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah into the fire. But they went on their own. Why were they ready to go on their own? Because they learned this Kav HaChomer from the Tzfardim. But the Sfarim say, what they really learned from the Tzfardim was that the Tzfardim, after they jumped into the fire, were the same frogs. They didn't feel that they were greater or better. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah came out of the fire after they were mice and nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they didn't feel they were better or greater than anyone else. Mefarshim ask that it's interesting. We find that there are two animals, two creatures that in Mitzrayim got a reward. The frogs and the dogs. Because when they left Mitzrayim, Layachrit's Kalif Lashonet, they didn't bark, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu rewarded them. But what was the reward of the frogs? That even though the frogs jumped into the fire, they didn't die. What was the reward of the dogs? Basma said the trefa Lashachelun, we're not allowed to eat trefa meat, La Kalif Tashlichren, so it should be given to the dog. Ask Mefarshim, the dog's reward is forever. The Tzfadah's reward was then, that those Tzfadim didn't die. Why do the dogs deserve so much more of an reward than the Tzfadim? So the Tzfadim answer. What was the dog's mitzvah, so to speak, that they didn't bark? When does a dog bark? when it gets angry, it held back its anger. Say this for him. The Tzfardim went on Kiddush Hashem, but the dogs held back the anger. The greatest challenge to a person is to be, or to anybody, is to be able to hold back their anger. The dogs who were able to do that deserve the greatest reward for Dairi Dairis. Rabbi Yisbar, Avin Omer, Matl Malay Lekis Shatamid Chamahaya. What Titus would used to do is he used to put merchandise into the purses of the Talmudim, the Chachamim, and that's why they were able to do business and have panosa. Whoever helps support Talmud Chachamim, zoich v'yoyshe b'tzila shamala. He'll be in the yeshiva shamala, shenem ki b'tzela chachma, in the shelter of the Talmud Chachamim, b'tzela kesef. Those are the ones that give money to Talmud Chachamim. As the Mefarshim explained, that's why they did not put Toidus into Chayrim, because since he is going to be a Talmud, since he was supporting Talmud Chachamim, he's going to sit in Gan Eden with a Talmud Chachamim, so we're certainly not going to put such a person into Chayrim. Others Mepharshim explain, how could the Talmud Chachamim show such lack of gratitude? If he's the one that supports them, how could they then go and put him into Chayrim? And the Chafetz Chaim explains, from here we see the great reward which is given to somebody who supports Talmid Chachamim. Says the Chafetz Chaim that the Gemara says here that they're going to sit in Olam Haba together with the Talmid Chachamim. So he says, what are Talmid Chachamim, what are they going to do in Olam Haba? They're going to sit and learn. So if this person, who maybe is not such a learned person, is going to sit with them, and they're going to be sitting and talking and learning, and he never learned and won't have what to say, is that going to be a Gan Eden? Is that going to be a Geshmak Olam Haba? Now what will Hashem do? Hashem will teach them Torah, that they should also be able to participate in the conversation and what's doing in Olam Haba. And the Chidah says, not only will they be taught the Torah that the Talmidei Chachamim learned because of their support, they will learn even the Torah that wasn't because of their support. Because again, if it'll only be the Torah what will be discussed because of their support, what are they going to do when they're speaking about the very Torah that they didn't support? So they become total Talmidei Chachamim. That will be their schar. And the Chafetz Chaim quotes from Rechaim Volozhiner. He says, Rechaim Volozhiner one time had a difficult shaila, difficult kasha, and he went to sleep. And his dream, a balabos, a person who was not known to be a great Talmud Chacham, came to him and gave him the answer. And he was wondering, how was this person able to give him this answer? He wasn't such a great Talmud Chacham. It was Rav Chaim Volozhiner as a shaila. But Rav Chaim Volozhiner said, this person, while he was in this world, supported Talmidei Chachamim. And because he supported Talmid Chachamim, now in the Olam Ha'emeth, he's sitting with the Talmid Chachamim. As we just said, he was taught all of the Torah. And he's able to answer all the difficult shailas and know Torah like the greatest Talmid Chachamim.